Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to John, the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter. Yeah, you can read the text. I got an anonymous text yesterday, so I wanted you to read that on the board. It says, "Hey, Trouble, wanted you to know that we need to be out by 11:45 because the Razorbacks play at high noon." And so I was going to give someone the opportunity to confess, since it was anonymous, before I put their number up there. So before you start trying to figure out in your phone who that is, who would raise your hand and say, "There you go, Miss Kathy." So let's give her a hand. That was great. Oh, I thought we needed a good laugh this morning. Thank you for that. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm learning some valuable lessons I've been learning over the last few years about things that I've never noticed, things that I take for granted, things that I don't celebrate until something makes me celebrate them. You know, I was thinking on the way over here this morning of this nice car, and these people put all of this money in these cars, and they put these big engines and nice engines in these cars. You know, but it's of little relevance if there are no tires. Regardless of how big the engine is or how nice it is. You know, and I was thinking along these lines of things that I have taken for granted, things that have been around. They've been doing their job, and I hadn't celebrated them. I've never given them a word of thanks. I've never even thought about it with the smallest appreciation. Let me give you an example you're going to laugh at. A few years ago, I broke all 5 toes on my left foot, all 5 of them at the same time. Now, I know you're curious. I'm not going to tell you the story. But what I will tell you is it was not life-threatening, but it was the most painful thing I've ever done in my life. I broke all 5 of those toes, and I had no idea how important the little toes were until I couldn't use them. I'd never given thanks to my toes. I'd never said, "Man, I really appreciate you." I'd never thought about that. I'd just take them for granted until I couldn't walk, until they wouldn't bend, until they were black. I'd never paid any attention other than clip a few toenails, and I really never understood what they really did until I needed them. And when I needed them, it was painful. So I did discover how I really need my toes, and how actually it's much easier to walk. I could walk properly and didn't have to limp, and I couldn't run. We went to Karen's family's farm that weekend, and I remember I just sat there because I couldn't move. So I'm going to draw that back in just a moment, but I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 16, and the Bible says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," or advocate, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." What a faithful promise from the Almighty God. It's also a promise that comes from the Old Testament as well. One example comes from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, back in Moses' life, where the Bible says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God," the Bible says, "will go personally before you, ahead of you, and he will neither fail you nor abandon you." It's repeated in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "For God said, I will never fail you. For God said, I will never abandon you." You see, we believe in this room that God's constant. We believe that God is with us always. We believe, when we stop to think about it, that the sun rises and the sun sets, the rains come, the plants and animals grow and they give us food. We believe that we can count on God. We believe that God is always there and that we have placed all of our trust in him. He will never leave. We believe that. He will never fail us. We believe that. He will never abandon us. We believe that. But listen, God must never become like my toes. There, but never noticed. There, but never appreciated. There, but never said, "Be thankful for until something goes wrong in my life or something goes wrong with my toes. So it comes down to this word called awakening. And an awakening is an awareness. And an awareness is intentional focus. You see, I wasn't aware of my toes because I never focused on my toes. Not intentionally focused on my toes until pain forced me to. And I know for a fact from reading Scripture two things. First, I know God does not want us to experience pain in order for us to intentionally focus on Him. But second, I know He will allow us to feel pain if the results is us intentionally focusing on Him. And that second fact, I believe, is a last resort for God. I think it's like many of us as a parent. And we ask our child's been outside playing, we want him to do right, been outside playing all day, and we say, hey, I want you to come in and get cleaned up so we can have a nice dinner. I've prepared a nice dinner. And the child doesn't obey, and so you go back again and you remind them, listen, I want you to get cleaned up and we're going to have a nice dinner that we've prepared. And the child doesn't listen, and over a period of time, it escalates, and finally there's some sort of punishment. There's something you have to do to get the child to obey. When all you wanted to do was the child to take a bath and come have a nice dinner that you had prepared, but now it's completely out of hand. It would have been so much easier had it just happened the first time. And we're all shaking our heads as parents because you know what I'm talking about, but as children, you know what I'm talking about too, because you were on the other side of the fence. The one not taking the bath. And it would have been much simpler on all of us if we would just do it the very first time. The parent didn't want to punish that child. The parent just wanted to enjoy a nice dinner to get cleaned up. But the child's stubborn obedience necessitated some sort of plan, some sort of punishment intentionally to focus on the child's needs. And so it's much better when we do it the first time. And this sermon today is not about punishment. It's not about pain. It's not about disobedience. It's not how we force our loving God into a place where He must discipline His children because of His love for us. He has a great desire for us to enjoy our full lives. And I don't want it to be about how we ignore God and then all of a sudden something breaks and we're forced to intentionally focus on Him, because the real message is so much bigger than that. The real message is so much more important than that. And honestly, the real message is so much more powerful than that. And here's the real message. God loves you. Let that settle in. What a simple message. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. And way down, down deep in my soul, and probably yours, we know that is the truth. As a matter of fact, this morning in my notes, I have it capitalized, the truth. Because it is the big truth. It is the one that starts. It is the one that undergirds it all. It is the one that empowers it all. It is exactly why you and I exist. It is why we live. Listen, church, it is why we serve, because God loves us. Amen. It's why we're here today. It's the single largest, biggest, most important, most powerful truth that you know. It is the most powerful truth that you will ever know, is that God loves you. It's powerful. We say it all the time, we hear it all the time, but I don't think that we let it sink in what all of that means. That God loves me. He loves you. And the key word this morning among those three words, God loves you, or God loves me, or God loves us, those three words is not the one that usually forms the focus of our life. You see, the key word here, it's not us. The key word is not you. The key word is God. The key word is God. God loves me. And I think that's where we get the most mixed up. It's not about me or us. It's all about God. And when I talk about awareness, when I talk about intentional focus, then the shift needs to be from me to us unto God. And see, I think this is the root of the problem with our faith. It's the root of the problem with our culture and our lives. We place the awareness, we place the focus on what God can do for us. God can forgive me. God can heal me. God can bless me. God loves me. All of that's true. And it's all such a wonderful, wonderful truth. But the danger is the focus is on me rather than on an almighty God. You see, when instead of focusing on me, we focus on God, I believe that we move into something that is entirely amazing. An intentional focus on an almighty God leads to a deeper awareness of an almighty God, into a knowledge of His love, into an experience of His love. And to me, that's what transforms us. That's what empowers us. That's what brings life in the life of the dead. It invites us, His children, to something that is really large. It's really purposeful. It's really significant. And you and I have the opportunity and the invitation to step into something far beyond ourselves, far bigger than you and me. And we have that opportunity to be part of something so big that it will change the onset of eternity. It will change eternity. And it wraps us into something that's very incredible. Have you grasped the opposite yet? I'm not talking about being filled with God. I'm not talking about being filled with God. That puts us back at focus on God and letting ourselves get absorbed. I'm not talking about being filled, a feeling that puts us back and causes us to imagine that God is coming and God is filling us. Instead, what I'm talking about is focusing on God and allowing, letting ourselves get so absorbed, to get so wrapped up, so enveloped in Him and all of His powerful ways, yet His gentle arms. Yes, He forgives me. Yes, He heals me. Yes, He blesses me. But all of that is a result of my being absorbed, of my being adopted, of my being enveloped in Him. So you say, who is this God? Who is that guy? And when did I, or the question would be you or me, when did we last pause, stop to intentionally focus on who He is? Intentional. I would say for many Christians, maybe in this building today and outside of this building, God is like my toes. I put Him over here until I need Him. And then I call Him up. I don't understand why I need Him until I need Him. So who is this guy? When's the last time you stopped to become intentionally focused on Him, to become aware, maybe even to become awakened, to be absorbed inside of His love, His life, to be absorbed inside of His will? Listen, to stop talking and listen. When's the last time that you've stopped talking and you just listen to Him? To stop your activity, to shut out the outside bombardments from media and entertainment, and seeking comfort and seeking pleasure when He is here. He is here. The Bible says, I am here, and we will stop and notice. And we would stop and intentionally focus, and we would stop and we would choose to listen. And we would notice that God does this incredible miracle. When we do those things, and you know what it is? He reveals Himself to us. He reveals Himself to us. He shows us that love. He shows it to us. It's like God is waiting. It's like God is eager with this incredible gift. He's eager with this incredible experience that He wants you to join. He's having this amazing party going on, a celebration, this wedding feast, and we're just outside the door and we're looking away, and God's knocking on that door and we're looking the other way, and He whispers, "I am here. I am here." And He says, "Come on in." He says, "It's pretty good in here. Matter of fact, it's pretty great in here. But listen, the party's not about you, Billy. I want you to come in, but you're not the guest of honor. I want you to come in, but you're not the star of the show, Billy. You see, we're not the focus of the celebration of the party. The party is about God. The party is about the God, the creator of the universe, the God, the sustainer, God, the redeemer. The party is about the God who loves humanity so much. He loved you and I so much that he would send his son to the cross, his one and only son, and that he would die there so that all of you and me, all of us, including you and me, might come in from this darkness, in from the cold, into this place, this heavenly kingdom, this kingdom of God. And he said, "Wouldn't you like to come in?" So I would ask you this morning, wouldn't you like to come in? What a party it is. This party's pretty fantastic. And what gets me the most is listen, church, that party's happening right now. Right now. That party is happening all around you right now. And I can speak for myself, but I'm ashamed to say that a lot of times my back is turned to that party. I haven't even decided the party existed. I'm turned away from it. My eyes are looking out into the darkness. My focus is not on God. My focus is not on His incredible kingdom. My focus is not on the opportunity that He's putting for in front of me to enjoy and to be part of something. You know what my focus is on? My focus is on me. What about you? Where's your focus? My focus is not on God, what God wants for my life and His incredible kingdom. My focus is not on what God wants me to enjoy and to be part of. My focus is on me. It's on some fleeting shadow that I am chasing that promises comfort or amusement. It promises luxury. It is like some sort of faint light in the distance that I'm chasing after with this word called hope. Hoping for some warmth, hoping for some kind of joy, because I have believed some lie that I need that. I need that such and such over there. It will make my life better. It will make me feel better. It will make me feel important. It will make me feel loved. So instead of turning around and walking into God's incredible party, I chase off into this night after this thin, false promise. And sometimes I chase that light for years and years and years. And I get colder and colder and colder and more lost. And then sometimes I blame God. And I say, "God, where are you? Why aren't you here with me? Your word says you never leave me or forsake me." And then I come to my senses and I realize it isn't God, it's me. See, the promises of God's presence are with us always, which I read earlier in a broader context. And if you look at your same text this morning in John chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, "If you love me, obey my commandments," verse 16, "and I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate which will never leave you." Verse 17 says, "He is the Holy Spirit which leads into all truth." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Hebrews 13 and 4, give honor to marriage, remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Verse 5, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are different specifics in each of those, but the context is exactly the same. It is a context of obedience. God doesn't invite us in and then lock the door behind us and remove us from responsibility and choice. We can't enjoy a party that we don't want to be at. We can't enjoy a party that we are at, but we're not convinced there's something better. Love doesn't force. Listen to that. Love doesn't force. Love offers. Love doesn't force. Love woos. Love invites. Love doesn't force. It romances. Love doesn't force. It seeks. It sacrifices. But it never forces. You see, so our role is a role of obedience. And when we obey, in other words, when we accept, when we pause, when we are awakened, when we realize and recognize and receive, then love transforms everything in our life. I asked a few moments ago about when the last time was that you stopped and intentionally focused on God. Intentional. An intentional focus on God. And I hope it was this morning. I hope it was this morning when we were singing or when we were in prayer time. I hope it was this morning when the word was broken. It could have been. It might have been. Hopefully it did invite you to a place where it was possible to intentionally focus on God and to encounter the God who loves us. Emphasis on God. Who loves me. Because those experiences are incredible. We can't explain them. They are what our lives are supposed to be about. Because that is where life is at its very best. I think it's a shame when I talk to fellow Christians and they're not at that place more often than they're at that place. That to many, many people that call themselves Christ followers, they treat God like my toes or like that tire on that fancy car. You will not hear a more powerful truth than what you've heard this morning. And that truth is, God loves you. It's powerful. Simple, but it's powerful. And what God is asking is, can you intentionally focus on the one that loves you so much? Can you do that? And when is the last time you've done that? Would today be that day that you would finally comprehend and understand God loves me? God loves me. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Father, thank you for loving us when we're so undeserving. Father, we don't deserve it. And we thank you for your mercy and grace. And Father, let those words, God loves us or God loves me, settle in so that we may understand that we are celebrating the creator of the universe, the sustainer, the redeemer. not of Russellville, not of Second Baptist Church, not of this county, but of the world, of the creation. You are the Father of all that is. And you love me. Father, thank you for that. Father, may each soul in this place be more intentional in focusing on who you are in their life. Father, may we call on you at all times. May we sing your praises at all times. And may we be intentional about it. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that comes with being a child of God. Father, we lift this time up for you this morning. We ask you to bless it. We ask you, Father, that our convicted hearts would just respond to your word and to you, whatever that means. And Father, we'll give you the honor and praise and the glory. It's not about us, God. The word and focus is on you. In your precious Son's name we pray. Would you stand with me this morning?